Professor Judy Searle is Chief Executive Officer of the Medical Deans of Australia and New Zealand. She's handing over to new CEO Carmel Tebbutt in October of this year. And this week I caught up with her to talk about her 2.5 years as boss of the MDANZ. It's been a busy couple of years, hasn't it?
It's been an awesome couple of years, yeah. No, I think it's been a good gig here.
Yeah? What have been the highs and lows for you? What's been the highlight?
Look, I think the highlight is certainly the MSOD project, so yes. The Medical Student Outcome Database, but particularly moving to the new phase where we're actually in a position now to do data linkage with national data sets.
Yep.
So this is what everyone's been waiting for. Can we actually find out stuff from the student survey and actually link it to what they're actually doing now? So that's huge for us. So I'm pretty proud about that.
Tell us a little bit more about it. What is the data that's being collected, and why is it important to get it?
Well, I think, as you might know, this collection has been going on for about 9 or 10 years. So now we've got participants who have agreed to data linkage, over 30,000, 40,000 students in that.
Wow.
So it's a national data set. And now some of them are in their vocational training. So we're actually able now to look at them in their vocational training and use the medical student stats to ask workforce questions.
Right.
You know, what makes a GP, what makes someone choose rural practice, what makes, you know, we could link with MBS data and find out stuff about how doctors use Medicare, how they use PBS. So the power of that is extraordinary. But I think it's more around it being now a workforce planning tool that we can actually look at the factors maybe around demographics and medical school that help influence career choice.
What have been the real challenges? I know the scrapping of the Health Workforce Australia, for example, the introduction of a new medical school over in WA. Have they been the big challenges for you during your term?
I think that's a couple of highlights. I think, you know, during my term, there's no doubt that with the change in federal government and the demise of HWA, I guess the interest and the impetus in some of the work that we've done certainly changed. So we had to sort of change internally and really focus our activities on being sustainable, but also delivering good evidence-based policy, but I guess the data that can actually try and refute policies that come out of the blue, like you might say Curtin Medical School.
Yep.
You could say we failed in being able to get that message across. Nevertheless, that's what we're there to do, to try and give a good evidence base. So I think that's always a challenge for us to be externally relevant to particularly policymakers, and that, like all small NGOs, we struggle with that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we're a member organisation, so being internally relevant to our members and giving them data and feedback that helps with their quality assurance has been a really good thing that's come out of something that was perhaps, as you say, a challenge for us.
Yes. What is the current state of play with Curtin Medical School?
Well, you know as much as we do. So what you read in the media. So they've been obviously allocated Commonwealth-funded places, and as far as we know, there's been no diminution of Commonwealth-funded places from other schools.
Yeah.
So there've been new places. We've read that WA Health are going to fund the clinical training places, but more surprisingly, they say they'll fund the pipeline, which is the vocational training places and pre-vocational places. The interesting thing about that is that the colleges were not part of that information. So you've got a position where maybe Curtin medical graduates are treated differently to UWA medical graduates, where you get, you know, given a place in your vocational training, but in fact it's the colleges obviously that determine who gets in. So we're in an interesting debate, and I think the colleges are taking that on a bit. I think it's a done deal. Most people know that, and I'm happy publicly to say it was a captain's call. I think it's bad policy, but we will, you know, we were happy to have Curtin join the forces of good, as you said earlier, should they want to. I think, you know, we look away at their approach in due course.
The priority surely is figuring out how to get doctors to go into the bush and to get that maldistribution problem sorted. What are the solutions that you see for that, and how has progress been made in the time you've been CEO?
I think you've nailed it, Kate. I think still priority 1, 2, and 3 is maldistribution. And I think medical deans have been thinking about that and the Commonwealth Government for some time. So I think where you say what are the solutions, I think what medical deans think is we build on our strengths. So there's been a huge investment into the rural clinical school programs and the UDRHs, and there's a strong network of clinicians and educators in that space that we can tap in for the pipeline. So getting students who are graduating from those medical schools staying in the rural regional areas and being able to do their vocation, their pre-vocational and vocational. And I think anecdotally people know that this, once the students come back to the city, and a lot of them are choosing the graduates to come back to the city because they think that's where they're going to get their vocational positions, then they get married, they have kids, they settle in the city. And so there's a lot of work around that pre-vocational space that means that, for particularly for those graduates that want to stay, that they can stay. So we're working really strongly with our partners, communities in those centres to try and build up training places. And as you know, that means working with states. It means working with the colleges around that. Medical deans can't do that. But we've got certainly strong infrastructure and networks. You know, Kate, the supervisors that supervise our students are the same supervisors that supervise pre-vocational doctors and vocational training doctors. So we've got to use that workforce wisely as well, because they're a rare, increasingly rare commodity that we want to value and help us, you know, get that pipeline looked after in that area.
Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about the Lyme network. How's that going?
Very well. I think we are pleased to announce that obviously we got another 12 months funding, like some of the other Commonwealth programs. Some got 6 months. We're lucky enough to get the 12 months. We're coming up for the Lyme Connection conference in Townsville in a few weeks' time. They are an extraordinary group of individuals, as you know. The Lyme Reference Group and all the educators on the ground are extremely passionate around their work. And it's not only the curriculum around Indigenous health, it's around the supporting of Indigenous students. And I think one of the strengths of Lyme is it's binational.
Right.
So we've got our New Zealand colleagues there, and they teach us a lot, of course. They're way ahead of us.
Are they?
In some of those, certainly some of the programs and ways of supporting Māori students through their programs that we really haven't even touched in Australia yet. So that's a very positive thing. And I think the other nice thing about Lyme is that what the Commonwealth's interested is that we share that sort of network with our other health groups, particularly nursing, but all of the health groups could, you know, learn from that sort of model around. And, you know, for Indigenous health, that is around strength of community and being very supportive in that space. So I get to sing the praises of Lyme, but they're the ones on the ground. Those people are just, you know, the salt of the earth, hardworking, fighting for the cause, and we're very proud of them.
Great. I know the Australian Medical Students Association has been very hot for mental health of students and young doctors particularly. What's your take on the situation? There was an awful lot of publicity down here in Victoria because there were some very tragic incidents of some trainees dying quite suddenly down in Geelong, for example. What's your take on the situation and how the schools are set up to help students get through?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Kate. The same with the issue around the recent negativity around the sexual harassment stuff that's come from the College of Surgeons. Both AMS has spoken up strongly for that, as well as, and I guess, mental health is part of that. I think medical schools, you know, probably the reality is some do it better than others.
Yep.
I think most of the people that you, our members, really care about their students, but sometimes I think students get lost in that process. It's high stakes. It's a pressure pot anyway. We attract type A personalities to medicine. You know, there's a whole, it's multifactorial, as you would gather. And I think we can always do better. We can always do more. I think these things are often, whilst it's about where something good comes out of something bad, some of these episodes that you alluded to, they're a bit of a kick in the backside for us to go, hey, what are we doing in our own space? So I think it is a very good trigger. I know lots of schools are then looking at their support processes and how we reach out to our students, but again, I'm sure we can always do better.
Right. You've clearly enjoyed your time.
I've loved my time, yes. I get to work with smart people and nice people. Yeah. Who wouldn't love it, really?
So you're handing over in October, is that right?
Yes. So as you saw, so Carmel Tebbutt comes on board in October, which is very exciting for us. So I get the pleasure of handing over, hopefully, well set up organisation and good footing, and she can take it to the next level, I hope.
So what's next for you?
Probably, as one of my friends probably suggested, a bit hedonistic. Trying to pick up those golf clubs and have a look at Australia. Yes, I know. So we're packing up the Winnebago and off we go.
Brilliant.
For a while. Let's see how that goes.
So not complete retirement then, just a sort of hiatus?
Well, who knows what that feels like. I've been lucky all my life. I've always had the privilege, like being a doctor, you get to do lots and lots of exciting things in your life, and I've been a recipient of that. So I'm very grateful. But, yeah, this is a little bit of time out, but who knows? I don't know how long, Kate. I don't know.
Well, terrific. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. It's been lovely to speak to you. And again, thank you for the interest in the organisation.
Not a worry. And hopefully we'll probably speak to you again before October. But, congratulations on your term and have a great holiday.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Kate.